And may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I've often heard over the years that we should never do anything, and I walk with the Lord for a reward. But the truth is, God's a rewarder. It says about him in Hebrews 11 that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So if God didn't want us to ever be concerned about being rewarded or there being a consequence, he shouldn't lay that out there. He knows what we're like. He knows he stirs up curiosity and passion. Should we do things out of love for him? Yes. But he also, again, says to us in Scripture over and over again, if you do certain things, I will reward you. I'll repay you. And I like it when God does that. I don't know about you. There's an, I'll give you some examples from Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. It says in verse 1 of chapter 6, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Verse 4, talking about giving to the poor. "And your Father who sees in secret will repay you." In verse 6, in speaking of prayer, "And your Father who sees in secret, he will repay you." In verse 16, verse 18, "Your Father who's in secret, he will repay you, reward you." So again and again in that chapter, it talks about receiving reward from the Lord as opposed to doing things to impress people, and your full reward will just be them being impressed with you. And then he says this, and they're all connected, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure upon earth." Don't invest in the treasures on earth, but where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, or treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in or steal. Now again, when we think about heaven here, he's not talking about one day that you'll get to experience when you go to heaven. You are seated in heavenly places now. And so don't think of heaven, again, as just something up there. It's that space, it's that realm in which God lives. It's a spiritual realm. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and yet, he says, there are things that we can do. And if you look through this chapter, in chapter 5, he talks about, do you practice your righteousness before men, or does it come out of your heart? If it comes out of your heart, if it's authentic, then there'll be a reward. Do you give alms to impress people, or does it come out of your heart? If it comes out of your heart, the God who lives in secret, who lives in the heavenlies, will reward you. And the same thing about prayer, the same thing about fasting. If you're doing it to impress people, it's just about outward performance, that's not going to do any good. But if you do it, if it comes out of your heart, then there'll be a reward. You're laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven, as opposed to just doing things that people will reward you with by their applause and favor, and then you're laying up treasures on earth. And so there's a lifestyle that we can live before the Lord that lays up treasures in the heavenlies. Not again in heaven that I'll get one day, but in the spirit realm that God lives. And so you're making investments into favor that God will release at different times and at strategic times in your life. C.S. Lewis talked about the fact that we can do things in a moment, decisions that we make, a lifestyle that we live, but just in a moment, that causes us to invest into, at some point in our lives, the Lord releasing favor at a higher level than we were even looking for. It's really significant. And so I want to find myself investing into spiritual treasures that God can release into my life anytime he wants to, and he does. It's amazing how he does that. But the verse that Ron read speaks of that. It says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." That's a reward. And I was talking to somebody once, and they were just struggling, being offended with somebody who had hurt them or disappointed them in some way or offended them. And I said, if you show them mercy, not only is it the godly thing to do, not only are you manifesting your union with Christ, but you're also investing into favor in your own life. You're laying up treasures of mercy. Because you could use the word mercy, you could also say favor. There's a place at the end of Matthew chapter 5, it says this in verse 48. "Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." What in the world does that mean? Well, the Luke 6 is the same thing in the same context The same kind of situations going on around this verse. But here it says in verse 36, be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. Now, the Matthew passage, the Holy Spirit emphasizes, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. But the Luke passage says, be merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. Well, which is it? Yes, because the closest you come to the perfection of God, the most Christ-like thing you can do is extend mercy to people. And if you're showing mercy, kindness, favor towards people who agree with you about everything and don't offend you personally or by their thinking, then that's not mercy at all. That's just getting along with people who think just like you think or who don't do anything that are conscious contrary to you or hurts you. In part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, it's easy to love people who aren't your enemies. But those who are your enemies, you're to love them and you're to pray for them, because that takes Christ-likeness. Any lost person can love somebody they agree with all the time or love someone who's never hurt them or offended them. But the truth is, people are going to hurt you. People are going to offend you, and people are going to disappoint you by their behavior, by their speech, and by the way they think. And if we're going after experientially the fullness of Christ, what he says is, at his highest level, it's love's expression of mercy. Because when you walk in mercy, you're coming as close as you can in manifesting the perfection of God. And all you got to do to celebrate that perfection in God and how God is so merciful is by simply occasionally look in the mirror and thank God that he's so merciful. That's why to not show mercy, we're told in Matthew 7, to be judgmental, to be critical of others, is the greatest sin. Because we all are recipients of God's mercy. And if it weren't for God's mercy that flows out of his heart, every one of us would go to hell. So those of us who've received such extravagant expressions of the mercy of God from that place in Christ are to extend mercy. Sometimes I think it's easy because you're in union with Christ. The independent self, the old self-life, was crucified 2,000 years ago. You and I as Christians don't have a right to our own independent life apart from him. He has taken our life and absorbed it into his. And so he wants to live through us and all the details, all the nitty-gritty blood and guts, practical things that make up our lives. He wants to live in that place in us and manifest his life through us. Amen? And so often, because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, if I find myself hurt with someone or offended with somebody, if I'll stop, Jesus only did those things he saw the Father doing. And he only said those things he heard the Father saying. And so it's very wise sometimes just stop back and say, Lord, what are you saying here? Lord, what do you see here? What are you doing here? Are you bitter at this person? Are you resentful at this person? Do you have harsh things? And you'll hear Christ say, no, I love them. Have mercy towards them. I forgive them. At that moment, I remember, because we're one, but we have a relationship. And so at that point, I go, Lord, if you forgive them and you have mercy towards them, I have no right to do anything other but to say yes to you there, because you want to express that through my humanity, because the independent self died on the cross. I'm doing now what he's doing, and I'm saying what he's saying. But the other good news about that is what? I'm also investing into treasures in the heavenly realm. I'm investing into favor in my life. And that you may find yourself one day as we stand before him and see him face to face, and you go, Lord, you know, I was like pressing in for breakthrough to experience more of this and experience more of that. And I just seemed like I just couldn't quite break through. And then I broke through. What happened? What did I get right? Did I pray the right breakthrough prayer? Did I go to the right conference? And he's liable to say, that day when that person said that to you, and in union with me, you gave them mercy. You expressed my mercy and my forgiveness. You invested into favor. You laid up a spiritual treasure. And I just opened up your account and released it. And that's what brought you through the breakthrough. Now, I want to store up as much treasure as that as I can, don't you? I want to experience all the favor that I can. And if you're like me, because we live with fallen people, don't we? We're fallen people. You're going to have all kinds of opportunities to lay up treasures in heaven in relationship to mercy. Or to not. If we withhold what he won't withhold, then we've missed an opportunity to invest into our own spiritual lives. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.